I like, if it's only one thing that I pray that the Lord will fix in your heart, what it is that we as Christians ought to see. I know what is happening in Houston, and I know what we see on TV. But in everything, we ought to ask as saints that what is the Lord telling us? What is it that Christ wants us to see in this whole issue? I'm going to preface this sermon with something that happened in the time of Christ, and I'd like us to just think about it. A very strange thing, a very fearsome thing happened in Israel in the time of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll tell the story quickly. Herod, the wicked king, decided to mingle the blood of the priest and the children with the sacrifice. It was a very wicked thing. And also, they had a natural disaster. There was a tower of Sinion or something that fell down, and it buried with it everybody. And it was, I guess there was no CNN in the time of Christ. I don't know how they got their news. But the whole of Palestine had, it was the news of the day, just like this flood in Houston has been the news for the week. So the disciples came to the Lord Jesus Christ and asked, have you heard what happened? Have you heard how the tower fell and many people died? And of course, this is the point when, as human beings, we shake our heads and some we go, Omashe, I don't know, you children have no idea what Omashe is unless you've heard it from your parents. Omashe means, oh, it's a pity. This is, and many of us, as we watch the newscast, that's the response we have. Oh, it's such, this is so sad. And many people saw it, and if their enemies were in that tower, they went, yes, secretly. Or if it's someone that they owed money to that died in the tower, they go, wow, I got away with this debt. So I could imagine there were lots of responses, but the response of the disciples was, oh, what a pity, Lord, have you heard this? And I guess in their hearts, they were also thinking, Lord, how could you be in Palestine and this kind of natural evil is happening? The question on many believers' hearts this morning is, if not believers, non-believers alike, is how could this thing happen? How could a man in another place get into a truck and mow down innocent people in a God, where the, in a universe, in a planet where there's a God and a good God? So the disciples came to the Lord and said, a natural disaster has happened. Lord, have you heard? I've always been struck. The first time the Lord opened my eyes to see that, I was struck by the response of Christ. The Lord did not say, it's a pity. The Lord did not say, well, these are wicked people. It's because of the sin and their wickedness that it happened to them. The Lord did not say, well, maybe structurally the building was wrong, and if they had only built in, it's their fault because they built in the flood plains, they had it coming to them. They should have known that they should not build in the flood, or in the case of that tower, if they had used the right material, it wouldn't have happened. Instead, the Lord, in his inscrutable wisdom, looked up upon you, upon me this morning. And the Lord said to them, do not think that it's because of these people's sins that this has happened in Houston. He said, for if you do not repent, something similar will happen to the whole world. In the midst of natural disaster, in the midst of things that move us to creative emotion, creation emotion, in the midst of deaths, in the midst of flood, the Lord challenges us that our hearts should always be on eternity. In that statement, the Lord was also saying to us that the evil that he has come to deliver us from, the terror he has come to deliver us from, the terror that we are freely delivered from through the atoning blood of our Lord Jesus Christ is much more than the terror that we see on CNN. It's much more than ISIS and all of it can do. It's very difficult at this time to keep the message on the soul of man, but the soul of every man born of woman is in crisis. So as we watch this thing, Christ is saying we should remember and rejoice. We should remember that ultimately the whole world has been set apart for destruction on one day. But thanks be to Jesus, because by his blood we are delivered from it. Good times or bad times, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in me, believe in the Father also. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it had not been so, I would not have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. Thank you. Was that Brother Peter? Thank you. And Alagbas. Yeah, I didn't remember the chapter, so I just decided to recite it off head. Thank you. That's the chapter. Please write it down. Yeah. So as I was watching CNN, I remember the original flood. So I decided to go back and see. And what struck me there was not just the story of the flood, but the story from the beginning. The story of the flood happened in the sixth chapter of Genesis, right at the beginning of the message of the gospel of the Bible. Prior to that, the Lord had made a man and a woman, Adam and Eve, they were called. In his truth, fellowship, in his compassion, he set them in a garden. And this is also a metaphor for how beautiful, because I'm preaching to a specific crowd this morning, please, I'm going to make analogies that are relevant to us, right? So this is not exactly what is written in the Bible, but this is how it applies to us. So the Lord had also created a set of people for this time and season, and he called them New Covenant Church or whatever church, because we come from different churches this morning. And he set us in a beautiful place, and they called the place America, where the waters run, where the lights run, where you go to the supermarket and you get processed food. I was speaking with my mother the other time, because she's visiting Nigeria, and I was asking whether she had been to the market. And she was saying to me that the really gory thing about the market, you know, she left Nigeria a long time ago, so I don't think she remembers how things used to be, is the flies around the meat, right? But incidentally, the meat there is much more healthy than the meat here. Because, I mean, once you wash it away, and you, actually the flies remind you to boil it very well, because you've seen that. But who knows what they package into this processed meat that we have in the store. We just go there, we grab it. I just started reading that some of them are infused with hormones, because I always wonder, when I go to the restaurants and I see some people order chicken, the amount of chicken that America eats in a day, how can chicken give birth like that naturally? I mean, when I was growing up, number one, I always joked that I never saw the thigh of a chicken. Even when we killed four or five, there were people older who would take the thigh. Until I got to college and we started cooking, I'd never actually seen. Only maybe high school when we went out, went to a restaurant or something and all that. But in that house, I will never get the Thai. These were homebred, naturally born chicken. But we live in a country where you don't have to worry where it came back. I understand there are children. Have you guys visited Nigeria? Good. Did you see chicken there? Did you see them process the chicken? Now, I've heard of children who visited from here, and after seeing chicken processed, live chicken, they would not eat it in Nigeria. The Lord created this man, Adam and Eve, and he put them in a garden, and he said the garden was beautiful. The Lord created a land, and so many people land in the airport, and they say this land is beautiful. But soon, Adam and Eve, especially Eve first, then Adam, got very bored. And she decided to take a walk and interact with all the creatures that God had put them in charge of. And in her boredom, the evil one in the form of a serpent said to her, "Did the Lord not say, thou shalt not eat of any of the fruits of the trees of this garden?" And quite accurately, Eve said, no, he did not say that. He said, of the tree that is in the center of the garden, of the knowledge of good and evil, we may not eat. Of all others, we may eat. In this America, as we land in this place, this beautiful place, and the first statement in every immigrant's heart, whether from the time when, after the Second World War, they broke into Brooklyn, came seeing the Statue of Liberty, the Jews, captive Jews, or whether it's the French in New Orleans, the Portuguese that first came into, the first thing was always how beautiful this land is. As we come around and we walk around this great land of ours, we get bored. We seem to forget how beautiful the garden is. We lose the first wonder of the creation of God and we're seeking new things. It may be our careers. It may be raising a family. But one thing that was lost was the splendor of the place and the fellowship of the Spirit that Christ, that God gave to Adam and Eve. She needed something else. And Satan, quite amply, the clever one, said to Eve, "How do you not know that on the day that you eat of this, you become wise? That's why God did not want you to eat it." Genesis. And she went and went, She took of it and she ate, her eyes open. How many of us have taken of the land, eaten of the fruit, and our eyes are open and we've lost the wonder of God in America? Put your hand down. It's all of us at some point. And the essence of preaching is that we may recapture the wonder of God. I was teaching my daughter's trust. And I remember an exercise that we used to do, an exercise in trust. And it taught me something about God. You know that thing that I say, they do it in management meetings and all of that. You always check who is at your back. But if it's someone that is competing with you and they're saying they should catch you, he might just miss you. So you know that thing that you just go. And I noticed that Similoluwa, the older girl, took a longer time. I don't think she's actually perfected it till now. The older we get, the less we trust. And Nika just, daddy was born to catch me. And she just kept falling. Actually, there was a time she didn't even know I wasn't looking. And she just, so we had to tell her, look, don't do this in school. And it's not every time that you go. God created us to simply have a very simple childlike trust in him. Eve lost that. Then Eve went to her companion, Adam, and they lost it. He ate. We continually eat of things that God forbid. May we recapture that sense of fellowship that makes God come in the cool of the day to fellowship with us. We say perhaps if we read the whole Bible in a year, perhaps if we pray harder, perhaps if we do this, we are always perhapsing. And the harder we try, the less we are able to commune with God. Because it's simply, I wish more of us came for our study on Wednesday, the joint Bible fellowship, because it simply at times just wants you to rest and behold the beauty of the Lord. It just wants to talk. I pray that our hearts will be determined to recapture the wonder of the Lord. The first parents were driven out of Eden. But something remarkable happened, as it happens in history and happens in every crisis. The Lord himself with his own hands made the first cloth. And to a rebellious couple, he clothed them in his love and tenderness. The same God that punishes is the same God that tends with his hands. This was the story of the Bible, the beginning of the Bible. It's a narrative of disobedience, of destruction, and of relentless love. They went out. They had two sons, Cain and Abel. One of them retained a friendship and a fellowship with the Lord. The other of them was still filled with the forbidden fruit, the fruit of independence, the fruit of rebellion, called Cain. So, like any Christian, as we are here this morning, both of them decided to make an offering unto the Lord. One of them made the right offering. It had nothing to do with blood, my people. You can only offer what you have. God will not ask blood from you if you are a farmer. Your yam will do. Both of them brought offerings. One of them, the Bible made notes to say, he brought the best of his offering. He had the offering with the correct heart. The Bible says, if first there's a willingness, it's accounted unto a man, not according to that which he does not have, but according to that which he does have. And God knows what you have to give, because he knows how much he has blessed you. The other one of them just, oh, it's offering time, just grabbed. Maybe probably because if you read the book of Malachi, the Lord was complaining that, can you give your governors the kind of offering you are giving me? Blemished sheep, the things you don't want. So the Lord does care the attitude of our hearts in offering to him. So the offering of Cain was rejected. The offering of Abel was accepted. And Cain was very angry. And the Lord said, why are you angry? If you had done well, would your slaughter have been accepted? But now, sin lodges at your door, and you will be a servant to sin. What did he do? He killed his brother. And the Lord called him and said, where's your brother? And he said, am I my brother's keeper? And the Lord said, that earth that has received the blood of your brother has called out to me. From today, you are going to be a vagabond, and the earth will no longer give its fruit unto you. But there's an amazing thing. The first murderer in the Bible cried unto the Lord. And I keep saying, Lord, why didn't you just destroy this man in my heart? But the Bible says that the Lord now put a mark on him and said, he that kills you, seven times more evil will befall him. Anyone who touches Cain the murderer. God is our friend, no matter what. Brethren, I recant the narrative of the Bible that you may see the nature of the God that we serve. His mercy, his compassion. I know that you see it in your lives. The purpose of a sermon is to stir it up. I'm going somewhere, brethren. So Cain went away. Cain had several sons. Cain became the father of those who dwell in tents and some few nations. And he had his old generation. But the Lord replaced Abel with Seth, a son unto Adam and Eve. It's a slip of the tongue. And this Seth became the father of Methuselah. Methuselah became the father of Lamech. And Lamech became the father of a man called Noah, forefather in their lineage. And this Noah was found to be righteous in all the earth. But the whole world, I guess the generation of Cain had spread. But in the times of the generation of Seth, the Bible records that men began to call upon the name of their God. Fellowship was restored. But by the time that Noah came around, the whole heart was full of evil. Brothers, I saw something strange on CNN. And I think we saw it at 9/11 as well. You see, is anybody in college here? You guys are in college? Are you in college? Yes, you know? When are you going to college? Next year? No. Okay. Staying in Atlanta? Oh, okay. Just remember this. These professors that say there's no God, they don't really believe it. They don't. I saw that this week, and I saw it in 9/11. It was amazing that my kids were able to, this summer, they were able to recite the names of all the anchors on CNN, the primetime anchors, because the TV is almost always on CNN. They said Don Lemon or Lemon Don or whatever. And the Syncooper, there's been no time in the last month or year or two that I've heard the name of the Lord on CNN as much as I've heard it in the last week. Even this great secular institution that denies God when things are good, When there's trouble, I've heard, bless the Lord, the Lord, oh, the Lord bless you, you're doing the work of the Lord. And I say on CNN, you people make a note never to mention the name of my God. And now there's trouble in Houston. And suddenly, and I knew that the Lord was affirming his name on the earth. We started this sermon by me saying, what should we Christians pay attention to? Always set your heart on the eternal, even in crisis. Don't be carried away by the high or the low. Let's look upon Jesus, the author and the finisher of faith. The Lord sent a storm in the days of Noah, and Noah and his children were preserved. This is where we close, and this is the lesson, and this is the thought today. Brethren, we read the Bible all the time. In fact, I dare say the Spirit witnesses in my heart that there are some of you here that are bored of reading the Bible. Some of you are so familiar with the story, you've heard it in Sunday school. The Bible at times has lost its wonder to many of us. But on CNN, this week, God reminded his people that his word is true. When people watch CNN, they see a city or a few cities flooded. What do you see? Do you see the Lord validating his story in the days of Noah? What came into your mind? Do you simply see people rescuing people on a boat? Or was the Lord showing us a tip, bringing our life, recreating for us in our sight that we may not be comfortable, that we may not be at ease in Zion, that truly, as he has spoken it, so it happened. If for a week, a city was so devastated, and I remember coming to church, was it last Wednesday? And I was trying to process what happened. And I imagine if suddenly they announced that the whole of PG County, Howard County, Montgomery County should be evacuated. You know, you watch it on TV and it's not real. And I saw the trees by College Park. I saw, and I'm thinking, where will we go? All of us in New Covenant Church live in one of those counties. So all of our homes will likely be flooded. There will be nowhere to run. And if we decide to run out of town, the highways will be clogged up. Ordinarily, a certain percentage of this population going to work every day on 495 gives this area the second worst traffic in the nation. Yes, Uncle, we beat you. We're worse than Atlanta. I think LA is number one. We're number two. A crisis. And I said to myself, this was how Noah happened. These professors read it and they say it cannot happen. If for 1 week, one city was destroyed, do you not believe God now that for 40 days, 40 nights, when the banks of heaven were thrown open and the waters of the ground was let loose, that the whole world was submerged in water? I hear the news and I say, oh God, who created the whole universe, unto you we give our praise. I challenge us this morning to please read the Bible with new pair of eyes. Let us pray. Father, for those who are in that storm, there are different churches and believers. You who saved Noah, the righteous, I pray, Father, that all your children whose trust are in you, that there will be deliverance sent to their homes and their wives and their children and their husbands in Jesus' name. And Father, upon those who do not know you, we thank you for how you have restrained the hand of evil and limited the casualties. We pray, Lord, that joy will come upon this land and the sun will rise again. We pray, Father, that your name that has been renewed upon the lips of America will never be removed again in Jesus' name. Let the fear and the grace of the Lord rest upon our land, Father, we pray. Those of us who are here, I pray, Lord, in our comfort, we not forget you. In our discomfort, we not discount you. In the name of Jesus, Help us to be constant. Let our hearts be steadfast serving you. Thank you, Lord. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord.